It's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number two of The Drive underway of Fan Run Radio. Top 4 at 4 brought to you by National RX. 25% off all Ananda Professional CBD products. Have you taken advantage yet? If not, what are you waiting on? Go to nationalrx.com. Give them a call. Tell them Fan Run sent you. Get it delivered straight to your door. Or just stop by. 11134 Keekston Pike, right next to Wendy's in Farragut. Marcus, big sports day. What do we got?
Thank you, Russell. At number one, some breaking news today is Rick Pitino has agreed to a 6-year deal with St. John's.
How about that? Slick Rick is back.
He will be returning to the Big East Conference with ambitions of restoring the Red Storm.
When was the last time they were good?
Back when Coming to America was in the theaters, wasn't it?
Was Joe Smith play there, or did he play for Maryland?
That's the most plain name I've ever heard in my life.
I come from a long line of Joe Smiths. Please, show some respect.
I will, and do.
Was it, who was the Lou Carnesecca?
Yeah.
Back in the 1980s?
And Pitino would be the most decorated coach that they've had since Lou stepped down in 1992.
Rick Pitino.
They played the Garden,
correct? Back in the big time. No, they have their own arena there now in New York City.
I always thought they were cool when they played at the Garden. Mm.
At number two, we also have another hiring, as Ed Cooley has accepted the offer to coach Georgetown.
Ed Cooley?
Providence announced Monday it will begin a search for their new head coach. So, as Cooley leaves to take over what Patrick Ewing couldn't do.
I like that hire for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Georgetown, you talk about cool Big East programs that have fallen on hard times. Like for
Georgetown, for
anybody
sure.
Who grew up in the 80s or 90s remembers the Georgetown Hoyas. Like, that was a
brother
big
was
deal.
A crazy Hoyas fan.
Yeah, I really liked them too. And they've just completely fallen apart with a series of bad hires. But Ed Cooley, I mean, he's they live in the tournament. Providence mm-hmm. in the tournament every single year. Like, I'm kind of surprised that he took that job.
He tried to go after Michigan before they hired Howard back in 2019. He was
– Oh, Cooley almost got hired by Michigan?
Or he was looking at it. He was trying to get there.
I would think he would do well there. And then the Providence job is – that's a good job too. Rick Barnes coached there for a while.
Mm-hmm. World Rick K. George Mason, Providence, Clemson, Texas, Tennessee.
And UCLA. Oh, no, he did it.
I saw an article. We can circle back after the top four. Remind me about that.
I'm pretty sure I just saw, too, that Kim English is someone that's being looked at Providence.
He could follow the Rick Barnes path? Interesting.
That might be a good spot. Kim English, head coach at Providence.
I think Barnes was right, only at George Mason for a year before he took the
Providence job.
Job. And so this would be 2 years for – interesting.
Could be interesting.
Clemson is like, I guess we got to start keeping an eye on this guy.
At number three, continuing with basketball news, the Lady Vols will be playing this evening, actually, at 6 p.m.
Okay.
As the number four Lady Vols will take on number 12 Toledo for a chance to make it to the Sweet 16. If they move on, they will be facing the number one seed in their bracket, Virginia Tech.
Bet your Crest ain't fishing tonight. The Lady Vols are playing.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Just saying.
I'm sure Martin's going to be hopefully. Would you feel good if they make it to the Sweet 16 and lose to Virginia Tech?
No. Because that's not the measure of success for our women's basketball program.
I understand.
We hang Final Four banners, or we used to.
But did you expect a lot from them this year?
Yes.
There was a lot of discourse this year.
Yes, I expected a lot. They had the SEC Player of the Year transfer in. You had Horston coming back. You had Key coming back before she got hurt. But even after she got hurt, you know, they have good players. The standard for Tennessee women's basketball should be to make the Final Four. You don't have to every single year. But it's been, 15 years since they made the Final Four? They've got a good team this year. They should go. I mean, that – if that's not the standard, then you're not going to make it. You're not.
So they had some big up. Ole Miss with a big upset in the women's.
Yep, took down Stanford.
Yes. Yeah, they did.
It's kind of like that.
I just want someone to take out South Carolina.
I'm looking more up at. I want somebody to take out
UConn.
Geno, what do you call him?
They have Baylor this evening at 9.
Arianima.
Yeah. And finally, at number 4, a little bit of a downer news. As Vols baseball drops in the rankings, they go from the 2nd to the 12th. As SEC schools go, the rankings, you have LSU at 1, Florida at 3, Vanderbilt at 4, Arkansas at 5, South Carolina at 11, Tennessee at 12, Ole Miss at 13, who also took a dive from 3 to 13. And then rounding it out, Missouri jumps into the rankings at 22, and Kentucky at 23.
Did you say Texas A&M? Are they ranked?
Oh, they're at 21. They dropped from 15 to 21.
They're coming in here this week.
Yeah.
We got to get some wins, man. How could you not be worried? You got swept this weekend at Missouri.
I'm not.
Don't blame it on the weather. Don't tell me it was cold. Please.
I'm not panicking. Not panicking.
I'm not either.
We ran into a very highly improved Missouri squad. Okay. Playing really good baseball.
We're not playing good baseball, man. And I don't know what it is, but it's, you know, a couple of weeks ago we were lamenting the base running. And, like, starting pitching isn't doing well right now. Hitting isn't going well right now. Bullpen is not doing well right now. Fielding is not doing well. Like, they got problems, man. And, you know, we all love Tony, and I think they've got time to get it fixed. But you're in SEC play now. It's not going to get easier. Texas A&M is a better team than Missouri. And then you go to LSU next week.
I want to take the optimistic approach, if I may, a page from your book, Russell. Get this adversity out now. Like, take this kind of in stride. Like, you're going to get these bumps and bruises. Get it done early in the SEC play so that once you can learn from this, get better as the season goes on. I'd rather all this happen now than near the end.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather it not happen. It was a weird weekend. You had bad weather all 3 days. You had a doubleheader yesterday. The pitching is kind of what's alarming to me right now. Is we knew that this team might struggle to hit, struggle to score runs, and there was going to be a drop-off there. But these are the same three guys that ran roughshod through the league last year. And they're not pitching very well right now. That's the one that kind of is like, what in the world is going on here? So, I don't know. We'll see if they can get it figured out right now.
I think they will. I got faith in Coach and the fellas.
Doesn't get any easier this week. All right, thank you, Marcus. That's the Top 4 at 4. It's brought to you by National Law Rex. Again, 25% off all Ananda Professional CBD products out there throughout the month of March. We got 11 days left in the month. So, you know, people ask me Saturday out at the watch party, what's the best way to support you guys? Love what you do. I mean, this is it, honestly, is just to patronize our sponsors. They're the ones that keep the lights on in this place and allow us to do what we do. So you got an opportunity now. If you have trouble getting to sleep, you want some of that sleep-enhanced CBD oil, or just want to use some for nerves, anxiety, whatever the case may be, give them a call down there and talk to one of the pharmacists. They'll point you in the right direction, get you what you need. And as I say, if you're listening outside of the Knoxville area, you can get it mailed to you. Go to nationallawrex.com to find that phone number. You do have to call down there, but just tell them we sent you, and they'll take great care of you. National Law Rex, again, 25% off all Ananda Professional CBD products for the rest of the month. 865-546-8200, your number to get on board the Big Orange Phillies phone lines as we break things down. Tennessee and Florida Atlantic. You know, before the end of the hour there, Bear, I was telling you about some of my fears about this game.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for the obvious, I mean, Tennessee's higher rated. I mean, we should be able to clamp down on them. I do get a little bit worried when I see, well, they play four guards and they can all shoot the three and they shoot a bunch of threes. And it's like, yeah, man, that kind of sounds like Missouri. But I don't know if they got a Kobe Brown on that team. And the one thing that really gives me optimism.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Let me interrupt you.
The one thing that really gives me optimism is the coach there, Dusty May, is a Mike White disciple. And Rick Barnes absolutely owns Mike White. He owned him at Florida. We destroyed Georgia this year. Like, that has always gone well. And that's the way Mike White's teams play. They're analytics heavy, lots of threes, lots of dribble drive. And so I think that we should be good there from a game plan standpoint.
Yeah, I don't know where it ended up yesterday, but at some point in the second half of that FAU-FDU game yesterday, I think they combined for over 53-point attempts.
And, you know, hopefully, we'll, again, the fear is that we go cold, they get hot, and sometimes you – I mean, like, look at Florida at FDU last night. I thought Florida Atlantic did a good job of guarding the three-point line, and they just dropped a couple of threes right in dudes' faces. That FDU team was fun to watch, man. But that's my fears, that we just go – really cold out there. And I guess the other thing is, I don't think any of us are counting on Kamwa going off like that again. And that's the frustrating part about this team, is you can't depend on these things from night to night. Now, maybe somebody else steps up and has a big night, but you don't know. You just don't know what you're going to get. So can somebody step up and continue to put that big defense on that has just obliterated Duke and smothered so many good teams this year?
I guess what I'm looking forward to, the key to it all, is if it's not Cam Watts, somebody has to step up. I'm not saying that you've got to have somebody, you know, go off for 27 points and like Olivier did, but somebody's going to have to come up big other than Vescovi.
Jamie is next. Good afternoon, Jamie. You're on the drive.
What's up, fellas?
What's going on?
Before I get into my call, Marcus, still no need for concern with your Celtics?
No, feeling good.
Free fall spiral.
I thought you were a Celtics fan, Jamie.
Did they clinch a playoff spot?
Oh, my goodness. The Celtics don't hang 17 banners by clinching playoff spots, man. This ain't the Sacramento Kings, bro.
Hey, I have no problem with what happened with the Jazz game. I saw and then read, you know, what Grant said about the shot that he took. I have no problem with the decision he made. They blocked up JT and just didn't work out.
That's cute, though, Jamie, this whole deal. We're in the Sweet 16. We just beat Duke, and you've called in to talk to Marcus about the Boston Celtics.
We're getting it out of the way, Bear, to talk about more important things. Don't worry. Marcus, you had a 19-point lead. There's no need. You don't have to worry about a last-second shot if you're well-led. But, you know, you've not had any reason for concern for a couple of weeks now, and we've dropped from the one seed to the three. So I'm wondering if we fall out, you know, if we get swept in the first round, are you still all right with just making the playoffs, or – I'm trying to figure out where our common ground is.
I'm just, you know, sometimes you have to be the underdog. What drives you?
So no need. We're still no need for concern. March 20th. Got it.
Jamie, no, you did not call in today. We are in the Sweet 16, and you're on here asking young Marcus Young if he's worried about the damn Celtics in the NBA. Come on, man.
All right, I'm done. I'm done with the Celtics. Moving on. Hey, Bear, though, you talking about that North Carolina Sweet 16 game under Jay Green, ended in a brawl at halftime. That's so funny because I didn't get to see the second half because of a brawl that happened at halftime. This punk that was with us, and he wasn't with us, but he was in the – we were at a watch party, and he decided it'd be funny to spit in a girl's drink whenever she walked out of the room, and he got real mad.
What club? Was it at a club?
No, it was a house party. It was house party. What is that? What set it off?
Bear's like, did Bear and Jamie cross paths 23 years ago, unbeknownst to each other?
I mean, we might have. We both worked in the hospitality industry at the same time, so it was something similar to that.
That's funny because I remember that game And I got pummeled at halftime of that game because I spit my ex-girlfriend's drink just to get back at that no-good cheating. I'm sorry.
That's great. You know, small world, Russ. Lesson learned, though, from where I remember, that's why I didn't get to see the second half. We had to, we all had to be interviewed by KPD over how bad that kid got hurt. But, hey, you know, I'm sure he don't spit in chicks' drinks anymore anyway. But, guys, I said it before. They play defense like they did against Duke. They win the whole thing. That defense is ridiculous, and it's fun to watch. And it's like you said, Russ, it said, can you knock down shots? And watching as much basketball as I watched over the weekend, you know, it just kind of nailed that home that, you know, you see a lot of teams get the open look, and if they can't get them to drop, you lose the game. You know, if the other team, you know, you're working it around the top of the key there, trying to find the open shot, and when you finally take it, it's got to drop. And if it doesn't, it's the difference between winning and losing. I thought that Fairleigh Dickinson had a good shot of beating Florida Atlantic the other night.
They did. It was a hell of a game yesterday.
Yeah, there was a lot of good games. The Gonzaga game got a little tight there at the end. I don't think this is the best Gonzaga team we've seen, but I'm looking forward to Thursday night, man. I took Tennessee money line. I didn't go big on them. Didn't get brave, but I just had a feeling that Duke hadn't seen anything like us before on defense, and I just thought that would get into, you know, underneath their skin and cause them to play outside of their comfort zone, and it did.
I wonder how much Hudson lost. Did he ever admit or give us a ballpark?
I mean, I believe the direct quote was, put the bankroll on Duke.
Mortgage your house.
2.5.
Or -2. That was his bone of contention with you. It wasn't 2.5. It was -2. Regardless, you lost, Davey. Now, I think Davey lost big Saturday.
Well, somebody who likes to lose a lot of money in basketball wagers, myself, I tell you right now, Duke never covers, and I take them because I'm like, all right, they can't not cover every game, and sure enough, Duke never covers. But I just had a feeling, man. I had taking my disbelief in Barnes out of the equation. He's got this team playing a ridiculous style of defense that's effective, you know, and I mean it's just. It's made it impossible. You know, when we play that kind of defense, it makes it impossible for teams to do what they want to do against us. And I look forward to more of it. I really looking forward to handling business Thursday night and breaking down that door and see if we can't find our way into the third weekend. That would be something, man. I'm here for it. I'm a Tennessee fan first. I'm underwhelmed with Rick Barnes, but I'm impressed with him this year. And can't say anything bad about him. I can't say anything about him right now. We're making a run, and I ain't gonna get in the way of it. So hopefully this will keep going. I was trying like hell to get to Craven the other day. I just could not get off work in time. How was it? Was it fun?
That was a blast. Yeah,
I'm sure it was.
Ton of fun.
Great turnout, great food, and just a really intense atmosphere. Just a palpable sense of relief, joy, and celebration at the end.
Yeah, I can't imagine, man. I love. I've been to one or two of those things throughout my lifetime, and I want to get back. Hopefully, I can get back Thursday. For the people that were out there, it sure is fun to be around fellow Vol fans when we do something big. So thanks for putting that on, you and Craven there, Russ. That's good stuff, man. I'm glad y'all are doing it again. So hopefully, we can make our way out there. But anyway, I'll get out of the way, guys. Marcus, the time for concern, man, is past with our Celtics. Oh, Missoula, they ain't going to get it done. We need to get us a new one already. Y'all hang in there.
He was getting ready to get the button.
See, I'm more interested in the fact, I don't know if you caught this, Russell or Bear.
If you say
it's not about the NBA.
Well, get on with it.
He said that this defense was fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like Jamie's been very aggressive
critical
against
of the style
and how unfun it is, calling it very similar to, you know, a familiar coach we used to have.
Obviously, haven't been paying attention to Jamie's calls then.
You think
over
Jamie has been complimentary of Coach
No,
Bob?
I think that Jamie shifts. He's like a shapeshifter. He moves around more. What do they call that in politics? Triangulation?
I think we know. I think Jamie has a very well-known and well-earned reputation. I think we know his thoughts about this coach and what he would like to see happen.
Yeah, but he doesn't. I think Jamie also doesn't like.
That's as gracious as we could possibly have expected him to be today.
Yeah,
agreed.
He's notably absent from the Sweet 16 meltdown.
We won't. By the way, I don't know that we're doing the watch party Thursday. We're leaning towards gambling and assuming. We're not assuming a win. We would just rather do it Saturday when more people can come. People got to work
and
Friday and all that stuff.
And the superstitious part of it.
Lucky shirt hasn't been washed. The throwback uniforms are 6-0, undefeated. Russell's lucky shirt, it might have lost a game. I can't remember it. I mean, I've won it to some big wins this year and last year. It's got quite a streak going. 865-546-8200. Geraldo is next. What's up, Geraldo?
Sir, I just want you to know, if you ever find yourself in a situation where you're in a fight, I don't care what you've done. If you've spit in a girl's cup, whatever it is, I will defend you. I just know that they've got to go through me first before they even get to you. So no matter what, whatever situation you're in, you give me a call, and I got your back, sir, because I love you.
If I ever get to be a malevolent dictator, like a Putin-type figure, and I'm surrounded by people I don't trust, I'm going to have Geraldo there to check my soup. Every time before I eat my food tester, yes.
I would gladly be your cupbearer. Yes, sir. Gladly.
Hey, Geraldo, this Jamie made me this sandwich, but I don't know. I don't try. Take a bite of that. Let me sit there and watch you for about 15 minutes before I eat the rest of it. Would you do that for me, buddy? Thanks.
It would be my honor. It would be my honor, sir. Especially, you know, like if you are in charge of the world, what a high esteemed position I'm in to sacrifice my life for you, potentially.
If I were an Egyptian pharaoh and I died and they put me in the tomb in the pyramid, would you be like those servants that they buried alive with the pharaohs? Would you go ahead willingly into that vault, into that tomb with me for all eternity?
Yes, sir. I would say bury me first so I can prepare the underworld for you, for your arrival.
You think sheep up the dial have anybody like that, Bear? Anybody that would die for them?
Nope.
Ha! Ah! Ha! Ah!
That's right, sir. You deserve it. You're the best. I love you.
Okay. Now it's getting weird. Anything else, Geraldo?
Just real quick. I didn't get to listen much to hour one. Did you guys get to talk any spring practice?
Oh, spring practice started today. That was noticeably. Marcus told us that Ed Cooley has been hired at Georgetown. Didn't mention that Josh Heupel's
Orange Bowl champion
football volunteers began spring practice today. You like that editorial decision, Geraldo?
Ooh, you know, I'm not going to say anything bad about Marcus Young because I also love him too. Not as much as I love you, but I also love him.
Oh, I will. That was a serious oversight on his part.
Perhaps I wanted to give us a full segment to speak upon it rather than a just editorial note.
I was just hoping if you guys had heard anything. Is Nico the next coming of Peyton Manning? Do we have a defense this year? I'll hang up and listen. And just know, sir, I got your back. I've got your back.
Thank you, Geraldo. I love you too, buddy. Freaking weirdo. Yeah, I mean, nothing huge coming out of spring practice today. I know that they said all the newcomers look good. Everybody's saying Cam Seldon looks like a boss out there at running back. They said in the running back group, he was just noticeably bigger than all the other running backs.
Yeah.
Including Jalen Wright and Dylan Sampson, who I guess aren't big guys, but I thought Wright like was noticeably bigger last year than he was as a freshman.
He was.
So that if Cam Seldon's already walking onto campus day one and is noticeably
what's he gonna look like?
A specimen. Oh yeah.
After he'd been eating at the training table and doing whatever.
Doing whatever.
Yeah. The program.
You mean lifting weights?
Yeah. Proper nutrition and lifting weights.
A college strength and conditioning program, I believe, is the term you're looking for.
Dante Thornton, by the way, has gotten some praise. Josh Heupel said that he has position flexibility.
Things that would have been good to bring up the top four at four?
Yeah, okay.
I feel like you missed your chance.
No, I don't think so. We have 2 hours left. Can play both inside and outside on the line. Also says he is fast and has good hands. He's also wearing number 11.
Ooh. Some good mojo with that number.
Fast players wear number 11.
I mean, if you wear number 11 or number 15 in Tennessee wide receiver, chances are you're a baller. I mean, 11, Thornton, Hyatt, Joey Kent. That's all that I can think of. And then the 15s were Brew.
Juwan.
Carl Pickens and Kelly Washington. We're all 15.
What did he call himself? The franchise?
The future.
The future.
Future, yeah.
And he also had his own dance. You remember the name of his dance?
No, don't care.
The Squirrel.
Really?
Yeah. The future did the Squirrel. Quick timeout. The Drive continues. Get Big Josh in here when we continue. A couple lines available if you want to jump in. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Quick timeout. The Drive continues on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. We're streaming online this afternoon, fanrunradio.com. as well as your free Fan Run app. A variety of ways for you to experience the program. We've got a podcast as well you can listen to anytime. Back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines we go. Big Josh is next. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Russ. What's going on, man?
Big Josh, we're still alive, baby. Still kicking.
It's fun, man. Is this the best individual performance you've ever seen from a ball in the NCAA tournament? Russ.
Yes, in my lifetime, yes. The only higher scoring outputs in Tennessee basketball history in the NCAA tournament were by Reggie Johnson against Furman and Ernie Grunfeld against VMI.
And we lost, I think, I'm pretty sure we lost to VMI. I can't remember if we, I'm pretty sure we
so,
beat.
So this was a much bigger stage against much bigger opponents.
Right. 22 minutes, 27 points. What is it, 5 rebounds? I don't know. He had a few other, you know. But it's amazing to me. You know, I heard you say we can't expect him to show up the next game. And a guy that with obviously all that talent who performed like that on that stage against that team, we should have seen, you know, we should have seen this a long time ago, Russell. We have to have him perform like that again. Florida Atlantic plays the same style as Alabama, kind of Missouri, Pearl. I mean, they get up down to Florida a little bit. And we've struggled with that at times.
Yeah.
And, you know, people overlooking this game Thursday are asking to get kicked right square in the nuts, you know. Better be ready to play Thursday.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, this is a good team. There's 16 teams playing. They're all good. They can all beat Tennessee, but Tennessee can beat all of them as well. And so you've got an extra day to prepare. You got to use this time wisely. You got to go out there and have your game plan in and be ready to go. They got to be careful, though. That 9 o'clock tip, I mean, we saw the Vescovy comment about how he doesn't like playing late games like this and all that. You're in New York City, bright lights, sitting around the hotel room, waiting to play in the Sweet 16 all day. If they come out tight and are missing shots, you know, it's probably going to be a tussle anyway, Big Josh, but they're going to have to find a way to get six or seven threes to go down, in my opinion, if they're going to win.
Yeah, or they have to get another performance from either Tomar or James that's kind of, you know, way above average. And, Russ, what's the best chance we've ever had as a program to get to the Final Four? I know we've had better teams, but we can't piss away these opportunities when this bracket's open, wide open like this, man. Barnes has to take advantage of this, and he has to get these kids where they're loose, and where they're able to play like they did Saturday.
You know, somebody pointed out to me yesterday that they thought Barnes's demeanor was a little bit different Saturday. And I went back and watched the halftime interview that he – or not a halftime interview, the, like, in-game interview he did where he's just kind of, like, very relaxed, hands in his pockets. Oh, yeah, it's a good game. Like, that kind of thing. That was a little bit different than the uptight kind of – you know, just uptight a version of Barnes that we've seen through the years. So
I think we've seen it on the floor, too, didn't we? Didn't you see it, Bear? Didn't you think they played a lot looser than normal?
Yeah, I mean, Saturday we looked incredibly confident. That was the biggest takeaway I had. It just looked like they just real confident, ready to play, and they didn't look like they were surprised by anything.
Well, it was nice hearing Davey Hudson with the red ass after it was over with. I really enjoyed that. And, Russell, this baseball team better get it straightened up. That's unacceptable. This weekend, we got LSU, we got A&M, LSU, Florida comes to town, then it's Arkansas and Vanderbilt. I mean,
yeah,
that's murderer's row, man. They better be ready to play. That scheduling, whoever set that schedule up didn't do us any favors.
Well, we thought they did by giving you Missouri first out of the gates. It's like, yeah, it's a road trip, it's going to be cold, but they're not any good. And so that's what made... Yeah, I mean, I'm not pressing the panic button or anything, but, I mean, this has been a disappointing start to the season, no doubt. And listen, I guarantee you nobody's more disappointed. And I bet our boy TV was all kinds of pissed off coming out of there yesterday. He's probably pissed off right now. But
He should have been.
Yeah.
We didn't play with effort. Burton didn't get a hit the whole series.
Oh.
Man. I mean, it's they wasn't ready to play.
Brutal.
I mean, that's no good. The effort wasn't there. And that's the first time I've seen that from them. That's not good. But anyway, I guess, hey, let's win this whole damn thing, Russell. What do you say?
There you go. Jake Taylor, only one thing left to do. Win the whole bleeping thing.
Let's go.
865-546-8200. We're giving away tickets to the game tomorrow against Western Carolina, courtesy of our friends at Crown Cleaners. If you want to win those, just follow me on Twitter, retweet the tweet I just put out about free baseball tickets, and then follow at Crown Cleaner, and you'll be registered to win. We're going to choose that winner around 8 p.m. tonight. Matt is next. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, Russ? How you doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I would like to, I guess, issue an apology, an olive branch, I guess.
Okay.
I would phrase it. I called in last week. I am a Duke fan. I'm a UT fan as well, but I root for Duke basketball. And I would like to retract. I commented on one of your tweets today, and I would like for you guys to know that all Duke fans are not kind of what I think has been portrayed in social media. And I would also like to apologize because I made the grave error of making the slightest negative comment about UT. And when I say that people were coming over the hills like the Braveheart movie, I mean, I couldn't even work today. My phone was blowing up so much.
Well, I don't, watch what you say, man.
I don't know if the apology is going to help anything, Matt, but I mean, I don't look, I, Duke fans, Tennessee fans, Kentucky fans, Bama fans, whatever. They're fans. I don't hold it against anyone. Like the stuff about, and I said this yesterday, I said, like, I haven't heard anybody out of the Duke camp complaining about the officials, and people are like, what do you mean? It's all I see. I'm talking about the team, their players. Yeah, fans are going to go crazy. Just like Tennessee fans bitch and whine about the officiating after Tennessee loses and it's not the reason they lost. Yeah, Duke fans were doing that yesterday. It's not the reason they lost. That's part of being a fan. But it's strange to me that this narrative has been drummed up by a former Duke player in Jay Billis, one of the most hated members of the national media in Doug Gottlieb. And who is the other one? Oh, friggin' 40. Like, people nobody likes are pushing this narrative out there. And I just wonder if it's going to have any effect on the officiating for Tennessee this week. But I know that's not what you wanted to call in for, Matt.
Well, no, and I know that's exactly. I mean, I do like Jay Billis. I think he's kind of had a rough year this year. Some of his comments, especially towards Alabama, I don't agree with. But I mean, I think everything has a nuanced take. I do not think the officiating affected that game as much as people want to make it out. I think Tennessee was going to win that game regardless. Like, Oliver Cromwell had his A-plus game. Duke played well. Like, it didn't matter. Like, the officiating is not why. Tennessee outplayed Duke in every facet, basically, of the game. They played harder. They made more shots. They didn't have as many turnovers. My only point and takeaway was it seems in this tournament, and this is not just the Duke-Tennessee game, but if you watch all the games, it's like there's been an emphasis for them to not call fouls. Like, if you watch the regular season, if you looked at somebody, they blew the whistle. And you'll look at these tournament games, and they'll go into the, 10-minute mark of the half, and they've called a foul or two fouls on the whole half. And it just seems like they've just let the physicality kind of be a little bit more than it was during the regular season. And I think that has affected, and Tennessee adjusted and kind of used it to their strength, and Duke didn't handle it well.
I mean, it's not like Duke's some, all Davy Hudson could kept crowing about on the Vaughn, not really crowing, but he was just telling us just how physically imposing Duke was. They were bigger than us. They were longer than us. They were stronger than us. And we took your all's lunch money.
I think Nate this morning brought up a really good point. He talked about Duke's guards, that they're more smooth and quick twitch. And I think the way that Meshack and Vescovi were able to really get up underneath them and put their hands on them, they're not used to that in the ACC. They're not used to getting hand checks and stuff. Stuff that, like I said, during the season, well, a lot of times was called a foul. And then in the tournament, it's just not called a foul. And they didn't adjust. And they tried to go in there, and you said they took their lunch money. I think that's one way to put it. I think that they just didn't handle it well as far as that level of physicality. And Tennessee ramped it up as soon as they saw that they were not going to get those ticky-tack calls. Mm. And they just ramped it up and turned it up to 11.
Well, I mean, I think the other part of it is, the ACC wasn't very good this year. I don't know that you guys were as good as everybody kind of made you out to be. I mean, there's only one ACC team left in the tournament. And you guys came in on a 10-game winning streak, but you were 0-3 against, is it top 10 of KenPom? I mean, y'all didn't have like any really big like top 10 wins this year.
I agree with that, but I also think that Tennessee was the worst possible matchup for Duke, and I said it. You can look at all my tweets. I said it from the day one when the brackets came out. I thought Duke had a good chance to go a really long way. I thought Tennessee was a bad matchup just for exactly what happened on Saturday. I think if Duke would have gotten any other draw, they could have went a lot further, but Tennessee, for whatever reason, matches up so well with Duke. And that was honestly a game with the Ziegler size. I don't know how well he would have done against the size of Duke's guard. You know, I think that it really didn't hurt them as much not having Ziegler. I think they'll miss him a lot more against FAU and that guard that they have.
Yeah, maybe. Good stuff, Matt. Anything else?
That's it, man. I was trying to get out to Craven, but I couldn't get there, so I'm going to hope to get out there.
Yeah, man.
I still pull for UT. They're still I still have a future for them to win the national title, so I'm still pulling for them. I just think sometimes we just need to have a little bit more of a nuanced take than, these fan bases just screaming at each other. Like, both things can be true at the same time. Tennessee completely deserved to win that game. It was also officiated in a way that did help Tennessee, but they, you know, Duke gets the call 99% of the time. So you just got to do what you do.
Hey, man, appreciate it. Hope to see you out there at Craven Wings this weekend. I mean, he brings up a really good point about the officiating and how Tennessee, when they saw that it was going to be a let-them-play type game, leaned into that and played even more aggressively. And I think, like, people might not give Rick Barnes any credit for that, but I think that's a coaching thing and a veteran player thing where the way the game is officiated, you have to be aware of that as coaches and players and adjust to that because games will be officiated in different ways. And I see all these Tennessee fans run around like, I'm so worried that the officials are going to call it tight this weekend. Okay, maybe they will. Yeah. But they're going to call it tight both ways. Like, you're going to have to adjust to that. If they do that, you're going to have to change the way that you play. Or you're just going to have to play through foul trouble and hope that Florida Atlantic misses free throws. Florida Atlantic, if you look at the advanced metrics, does not have a great free throw rate as far as getting to the free throw line. So that's going to be a storyline to watch this week, is how is the game officiated and can Tennessee take advantage of that, whichever way it goes, whether it's called tight or loose. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Quick timeout. Back to wrap up hour number two of the show right after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. All right, so there's been some miscommunications. It's my fault. Apparently, the Talk Sports guys said that we're doing the watch party Thursday night. We have not decided yet. Ultimately, it's up to the sponsor, Craven Wings, but we are planning on doing a watch party again. A really successful one Saturday, obviously. Question is, do we do it Thursday night at 9 o'clock for the tip-off against Florida Atlantic? I know some of you are just like, go ahead and do them both. These things cost money, people. And we don't want to wear out the audience. I know some of you would come to both. I would go to both, but we might only be able to do one. And there's no doubt, like, assuming Tennessee wins Thursday night, there's no doubt that if there are going to be two games this weekend, the Saturday one will be easier for people to attend and, like, more attended and just better. So we hope to have a decision on that, but I'm leaning towards doing what we did last week, which is rolling the dice and having it on Saturday. Hopefully. 865-546-8200. Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive.
Where's Larry W?
Sorry, Phil. Hey.
Are you burying Mark's done?
Doing well. Still playing basketball, Phil. We're still here. Still kicking.
Yeah, I heard you're illegally typing my call from last Friday or whenever it was.
Illegally?
Yeah, you didn't get my consent, did you?
Your consent? You called the show. You called us.
Well, I'm glad they won.
Maybe we – should we start putting a disclaimer on the show, Barry, that – people call this show, it is being recorded and placed onto a podcast, which will go on the internet, which means it will live forever. Anything you say, or I say, or we say. Lord knows I've had some idiotic takes through the years. Yep. They're still out there.
Well,
I advocated for hiring Chad Morris, Tennessee head football coach, in 2017. That's out there. I can never do anything to get rid of it. It will hang like a scarlet letter, like an albatross, around my neck for all eternity.
You also said, yep. Who's Tony Vitello?
Shut up, Marcus.
Well, this is a golden opportunity for Tennessee. The number one seed's gone, the number two seed's gone, right?
The door is open, Phil. We keep talking about how you have to kick it down. This time the door is open, at least for the Elite Eight. We don't even have to kick it down. We just have to walk through it.
Yeah. And this team, we're going to play Thursday night. I mean, they're good, but we can beat them if we play ball, if we don't just give them the game. They're not as good as Missouri or Alabama.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah, I hope I'm not tempting the wrath of the whatever high top thing, but I don't see any Kobe Browns, Javon Quinterly, certainly no Brandon Millers on this roster. I'm sure they're good players, tough kids who've
John L. I'm gonna go with Smith because that's what I think. John L. The kid that went off yesterday. I mean, he could be a problem. I mean, he's hot
they
as hell.
Put a check
right
on him. See how much of a problem he is.
There you go.
Ole Miss beat them, right?
Ole Miss beat them back in November. Yes.
Yeah.
And they beat Florida.
Yeah, they beat Florida, and we lost to Florida.
And those are by far the two best teams they've played, I think, besides Memphis. Like, if you go back and look, they played those two games. I don't think they played any other high major opponents in their preseason. And then they played a Conference USA schedule. They lost to UAB on the road and MTSU on the road. Yeah. And I believe they avenged both of those losses in their conference tournament.
I mean, they caught a break with Farley Dickinson upsetting Purdue. But still, I mean, they're in the Sweet 16, so there's not really any easy games.
They took them lightly. I mean, Jerry Green got beat by SEMO, didn't he? In the NCAA tournament, Southwest Missouri or whatever it was.
Yep.
But you look at Tennessee, though, when they've run into a team that's got good guards and a good big man, that's when they have a problem. Either one of them really gives Tennessee a fit. Let's look at our losses. But all those teams had a good big man and a good guard.
If I felt reasonably sure that Olivier Kamwa was going to play like he did the other, not necessarily 27 points, but if I felt like we could count on him for 18 points Thursday night, I'd feel so good. Confident about this game, but I just don't know because they're gonna turn on that tape like everybody else did every time he had a good game this year and make him a focal point. They're gonna be all over him, and they don't have. Here's the interesting thing, Phil. They start the big Russian inside, who I'm not particularly concerned about because I think we've got several guys who match up just fine with him. But then they basically start four guards. I don't think any of their other starters are above 6'4". So what are they going to do with Kamwa? I mean, is that a problem because it's a smaller defender? Who's it a problem for? Is it a problem for him or is it a problem for them?
Well, put Kamwa at the five and then put Phillips and Triple J at the three and four. And maybe Shaq and Vescovia. I think that's who I'd start against them.
Yeah, but I mean, are we tailoring our game plan to them? Are we adjusting them? Are we trying to make – I think you try and make them adjust to you, first of all. I think you
so
go
you
in there –
you want to go big again?
Yeah, I think you do what you've been doing, and you know if it doesn't work, if you're struggling, then maybe you go small a little bit and see if that works. You've got, you know, try a couple of things in the second half, in the first half, and then go with what works down the stretch.
Well,
ideally, we can just go out there and bully them, Phil. We just go out there with our two bigs, and we just dominate the paint and run them off the three-point line and just, you know, grind them up into a fine paste. But if you can't do that, you might have to, what you're talking about, go a little bit smaller.
We haven't had too good a look in the Madison Square Garden lately, have we?
When was the last time we played there? Was that the Texas Tech game last year?
I think you're right.
That was not fun.
Center and couldn't hit a shot, right?
No.
But we won the game.
No, yeah, play with that Spalding basketball. So that is not the case this time. Got to run, Phil.
All right, see you.
Hour number two. Oh, the Phil mad about being recorded without his permission there. This is interesting. Did not see that take coming. Stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up.